We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Gets inside, left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot, back door. What a pass, what a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This isn't Dart. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up, and welcome to the Uncontested podcast, coming to you live after the Oklahoma City take a commanding 3-0 lead in the first round of the NBA playoffs, beating the New Orleans Pelicans on this fine Saturday evening afternoon, 106-85. The Pelicans were averaging 92 points a game going into this one. They failed to get there by 7 points. Bonker stuff. Thunder lead the series 3-0. Lots of folks in the chat seem like they're getting the brooms out. I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. I've got my guy, Nick Crane, with me tonight. Nick, how's it going?
Good. As a complete aside, watching our intro, J-Dub with the big hair from last year just looks so weird now.
I know. We're going to have to
update it. They're staying the braids for a year.
I want to update it, but we got to wait because we're going to get so many playoff moments.
Yeah, totally.
That it's pointless to update it right now. We are brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the best two fast casual restaurants in Oklahoma City, Dave's Hot Chicken and Spark OKC. OKC, don't go eat at those places tonight. The weather is way too gnarly. Don't want you to get caught out in some hail or a tornado or whatever. But tomorrow, we've got the Memorial Marathon downtown. If you're running or if you're supporting runners or you just want a good lunch, go downtown, get some Dave's Hot Chicken and some Spark OKC. Nick, what a game. 106-85. I mean, just another absolutely smothering defensive performance. Let's start off. I see the What a Pro Wants commercial in the background. I don't know why so many other NBA fandoms don't enjoy that commercial. It's so wonderful. Let's start off with a synopsis of this game. Big picture, kind of breaking it down. It all starts in the first, 20 seconds when J-Dub goes up for a layup, catches an elbow to the eye, hits the ground, and doesn't get up for like a legit, like in the real world, 3 minutes. Has to go get subbed out, go to the locker room. That felt like a possible big swing in this series in the first 20 seconds of this game.
Yeah, I think, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. In the moment, I didn't think much of it. Like, you'd rather a guy get hit in the face and have to go to the locker room than like tweak an ankle or what happened to their knee. Like, if a guy is going to leave and be on the ground for a long time, getting hit in the face is probably the best bet. Like, worst case, it's concussion or what we saw last year in his rookie season where he had to wear the mask because he had the face contusion.
They broke his face, didn't they, last year? Yeah. Had to get surgery on it.
I don't know if breaking your face is a real medical term, but yes, essentially he broke his face. So all that to be said, like, I think if a guy's going to go down and go to the locker room, it's best case scenario. So I wasn't too set aside by that, but it was a big thing. Like, even if he misses this game, it felt like, oh, what if they drop this one and they go, 2-1 back in New Orleans with a chance to tie it. But I'll transition us to the next thing. Like, Cason Wallace comes in immediately and like 5 points, great defense, keeping things moving. That's an easy thing to like see one of your best players get hurt and then you kind of get stagnant. Shout out to Cason for keeping the momentum.
He came in and I thought he was awesome, especially to be thrust into that moment that you were not expecting as a rookie. I feel like you could take Cason down to the park this afternoon and put him in a basketball game, or you can put him in game 3 on the road like he literally just did tonight. Doesn't matter, he's playing the same way. Like, the man seems like pressure just doesn't exist to him. You know what I'm saying?
Built different in the Dallas, Texas area.
I love it. Game continues on, Nick. It's kind of back and forth, I would say, for a lot of the first quarter going into the second quarter. But a moment in the second quarter, and this will probably be one of my moments of the game. You should recall it. You tweeted about it. Lou Dort gets a 3. Mm-hmm. Thunder get a stop, come down. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander gets a 3. The Pelicans come down. For some reason, this is, Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the 6th time now these two teams have seen each other this season.
Yep.
Still trying Chet Holmgren at the rim. I believe on this possession, it was Trey Murphy III went in. Ended poorly for him. We get another Lou Dort 3 and the 9-0 run in 42 seconds, I think is the exact timing. And from that point on, Nick, the route was on.
That felt like
the second half of the second quarter.
Uh-huh.
I think there was like 3 or 4 minutes left. And from that point on, it was done.
Yeah. On the challenging Chet at the rim, it's kind of like a slippery slope. Like, logic tells you, don't try that. Just like float the ball and try to get like a mid-range jumper or a floater or whatever you want to do. On the flip side of that, when a guy like Chet is there, and he blocks all these dunk attempts, and he's blocked you this season, Trey Murphy. There's like this desire to go do it. And so that's like, it's a double-edged sword. Like, he's going to get dunked on in the playoffs, in the series, maybe before it's over. But like, he's going to continue to go up and do the same thing.
Yeah. Trey Murphy really wants it.
He does.
He has not been able to get it. This is like his Everest.
Yeah.
It's wild. Any finishing up a synopsis of the game, any big second half moments that kind of helped transition us to the end of this game?
No, I think credit to the Thunder, like, defense has been the reason they've dominated the series straight up. Even game one, like, they probably shouldn't have won that game the way they played offensively, but the defense carried them. Second half of tonight's game, New Orleans came out and was like 4-4 or 5-5 from the field coming into the second half. That's for a young team like Oklahoma City. You'd think they might roll over and let them get back into this game, making competitive. And while the defense wasn't getting stops to start the second half, the offense was scoring. And so it's like, when you have a team that's well balanced and has like a top 5 or 6 offense and top 5 or 6 defense, it's just tough for a team like the Pelicans when you already weren't great with Zion, but without him, like, I don't know about you, maybe other than the first 10 minutes of the series, given the jitters and like playoff basketball in OKC, this team is not scary whatsoever. Like, zero.
I tweeted it from the account earlier. It took them all of one game to get the playoff jitters out of their system. Yeah. And ever since then, it's just been a beatdown, an absolute beatdown. The defense is smothering. The offense is fluid. It has all just been absolutely, absolutely incredible. I think that'll do it for our game synopsis. Nick, I want to move on, and I asked the chat this earlier. I'm going to ask him again now. Three plays or three moments that defined this game. I feel like sometimes we can get lost in the minutia of the play-by-play, but most of these playoff games like have a handful of moments that you're just like, that's what turned the game. For me, it was that 40-minute stretch in the second quarter, like I mentioned.
40 seconds.
What'd I say, 40-minute?
Yeah.
Oh, 40-second. Long quarter. The 40-second moment in the second quarter.
Yeah.
The 9-0 run just completely, like, I think ended this game, maybe ended this series.
Yeah.
What other moments are kind of the defining ones of game three?
It's hard with the lopsided win. There was a moment in the third quarter where Dub was cooking, and it was like nail in the coffin early. Like, you knew this game was over early in the second half, but Dub had a little stretch with like a pair of threes and some lockdown defense. And it was just like one of those moments where you're like, people are watching this game that have never seen J-Dub play, and they're like, holy cow, this guy's legit. Just like, you're not a finisher whenever you're up by 20 already, but there was a moment there where he just like, there was no doubt this game was going to be a Thunder win.
Yeah, I think at the beginning of the fourth, he had like a disgusting step back on the right side over Ingram.
He had a like, he had a like a side dribble to the right with like a quick behind the back to his left and just blew by his defender, and then did the a typical J-Dub like 99% of NBA players wouldn't make regularly, but it's a 100% chance he's going to make it kind of a shot.
Yeah.
Just unreal, dude. Like, elite shot maker.
I think another moment tonight, and maybe a moment for this series or this postseason for me, meaning I think it could be a catalyst moving forward. Josh Giddey on the break ditches CJ McCollum like a bad habit with the behind the back crossover, crosses back, gets in the lane, hits the Euro floater, got the whole bench up and going. I felt like that was a moment for Josh. Josh had, Nick, a phenomenal game tonight. Dude went 21 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal, 8 of 13 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, and played 31 minutes. You could really, really feel his impact. And I feel like defensively, he's been really good in this series. I think he's gotten better as time has gone on. And I think he has really found his confidence. He was shooting in rhythm, catch and shoot threes over guys tonight. Impressive stuff from Josh. And that behind the back crossover Euro to the floater, to me, was just like, oh shit. Like, Josh is feeling it. And when Josh gets the confidence and gets rolling and gets downhill, there's not a whole lot you can do.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be so anti Pelicans, and I would be so sad if I was a Pelicans fan. Josh Giddey was a better offensive player than Brandon Ingram tonight or this afternoon. 2 more points than him on 1 less shot, more rebounds, way more assists. Like, that's the number one option. It's just bad.
Not to get a sidetrack from the moments. One thing they're doing against Ingram that I think is just, well, first off, you put Lou Dort on him. If that's your defensive plan, it's a pretty damn good defensive plan, Nick. But secondly, they're not cheating or helping off. Like, basically, the Thunder defense is saying, B.I., if you want to try to cook against Dort, go for it. But we're not going to cheat off and give open shots to other guys. We're not going to make one pass away doubles that help the rest of your team get loose. Everyone's just sticking to their man, letting Lou just do his thing, and really like suffocating Brandon Ingram assist attempts, which I think has been a huge part of the Thunder defensive strategy through three.
Well, the problem for the Pelicans is they are employing that strategy where it's like, B.I., we want you to take 25 tough mid-range jumpers and threes. But the dude, instead of taking 25, takes 12 or 14 contested mid-range jumpers and threes. Like, quick math, the dude has taken 41, 42 shots this entire series. that's just, it doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. The strategy is BI, take a bunch of shots. And not only is he not doing that, he's like taking a few amount of shots and they're all bad shots.
Today was the first game that I saw where it was really like, he just looks like he doesn't want to get the ball and fight for a shot. And that's the thing is like, for him to get to a point where he can shoot the ball, it's taken a lot out of him. It's like he runs off three screens and he can't get away from Lou. You know, it's like a whole ass workout on a possession just for him to get to a position to shoot the basketball. And when he's shooting them, when Lou's on him, they're not going in.
You know what that is to me?
It's almost like a mental thing.
What I think it is, not to keep shitting on the Pelicans, every playoff series in the history of the NBA, right? Your top option is going to be schemed for, whether that's a phenomenal perimeter defender, whether that's like, we're going to double, we're going to blitz, we're going to do this, that, the other. Like that is like your best player in the playoffs is going to get a lot thrown at them. That's no surprise, right? The Jokic, the Luka, the Shea, like those kind of guys, it doesn't matter. They're still going to get theirs. Brandon Ingram has not been able to get his, and I almost blame Willie Green more than Brandon Ingram. You're telling me after two games of your top scoring option not getting a single easy look, you can't come up with something? And it's not like Mark's doing anything crazy. He's just sticking Lou Dort on him, and if it's going to switch off, it's going to be another solid defender, a J-Dub or a Kaysen. You can't scheme your guy into 15 shots?
Yeah.
Like, bro, Willie Green, you got to figure this out.
All right, Nick, I think it's time for our first break. Before we go to break, people are throwing a lot of money at us right now in the Super Chats. Hayden Peterson, Taylor's brother, messed up and sent a Super Chat without the comment. He then said, make Nick bark. We also have Alex Cash in the chat. I'm not going to read this one verbatim for the podcast listeners. But he also said, make Nick bark. No one will outbid me. Nick, there is $24 in this chat right now for you to bark. The floor is yours.
Alex Cash, throwing the money. That's all you're getting.
The single bark. We also have El Sombria Raggio 7. What maturity is shown in the second quarter? Pelicans got the lead to 1. Mark plugs Josh in and calls for a help side on Jonas Valanciunas, causes 2 straight misses that lead to a 14-2 run to push the Pels lead to 15 with a minute left. To push the lead to 15 with a minute left. Game over.
Yeah,
that second quarter, that was it. I mean, they put their foot on the gas. They pressed down, and the Pelicans just saw the rearview mirror after that the entire way.
Yeah. I mean, the series is over. Like, whether it's 4 or 5, it's tough. Worst 1 seed in NBA history at that. Like, Pelicans should be embarrassed, huh?
Let's take a break on the other side. We will continue breaking down Game 3. We will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And we are back. The chat finds Knicks bark very disappointing for the money they spent on it. Knicks an expensive man, I've learned over my time podcasting with him.
But this isn't like OnlyFans where you pay money and get what you want. Alex Cash, I'm looking at you.
Funny stuff. All right. We kind of talked about plays of the game. Nick, what do you want to go to next? Anything specific, like as far as like scheme or the way they play? Do you want to talk about specific players? Like, which direction you want to go with this thing?
I want to go the direction of the ceiling of this team. So none of the above. Okay. It'll make sense. So I don't think there's ever a world where you can expect any team to have every guy play their best basketball for an entire seven game series ever. What I've noticed in this series is every game there's been like one guy that's balled out and one guy that's been kind of mediocre. Like Chet Holmgren had a phenomenal game too. There was a few other key players that were kind of like, eh, tonight Chet, I'm not saying he had a bad game. And the scoring department was not super effective, still made a huge impact. But the slack was picked up by guys like Josh Giddey. The reason I say all this is like we've seen like the Thunder Big Three in game two almost outscore the Pelicans by themselves. And Big Three is Shea, Chet, Dub. What happens and like what is the ceiling of this team? I guess the to round this out, the question for you, if the Big Three is cooking, if Josh is playing the way he can, the way he did tonight, if Lou Dort's hitting threes and then you have this bench unit that comes in and plays well, like if all things are clicking, is this a team that can actually make it to the finals and get past a team like the Nuggets?
That would be difficult. I think if they play up to their capability and play like they have been, I think a deep push in the Western Conference Finals like is there. It's hard to say NBA Finals, but I don't think it's impossible. It feels like it feels crazy, but the way they're playing right now, like I don't feel like that's impossible. I mean, hell, they beat the Nuggets 2 out of 3 times in the regular season.
And I think it comes down, like what I've noticed, we're not talking about the Nuggets and their series, but what I've noticed about the Nuggets is like they're not an unbeatable team. Like the Lakers have held significant leads. It all comes down to like the end and the execution where the team that is better meshed and has more chemistry and makes the right reads and doesn't turn it over and hit shots late wins. And that's been the Nuggets all three times. Like this could be a series that's like 2-1 right now in either direction. The Nuggets have just won the game late. A team like the Thunder, I don't think is going to let that happen like the Lakers have. Like they're not going to blow it. Knock on wood. They're not going to blow a 20-point lead.
Agreed. I'm trying not to look forward to round two, Nick.
Oh, I mean,
I'm really not.
At this point, is the round one even a round anymore?
I mean, what's the NBA record? Like 192-0?
Yeah.
When you go up 3-0?
Yeah.
I don't think they're making history.
Well, if the Pelicans make history, this podcast will get real fun over the next few days.
Fun is a funny way to put that, Nick. I want to talk about some like big picture stuff in the game before we get to individuals. And maybe this kind of applies to individuals. Nick, when you look at minute distribution tonight, there are two things that I find very fascinating. Do you know who played the most minutes in the entire game tonight, by the way? Have you already looked?
No, I will guess.
I think he's leading the series in total minutes.
Chet?
Incorrect.
Can't be Dub because he missed a lot.
Entire series.
But he's a leading minutes guy tonight.
Leading minutes getter tonight of everybody who touched the floor. And I believe leading minutes getter in this entire series.
I don't think it's a Dub because he missed a good chunk of time in the locker room.
Correct.
It's not Chet. Shea'd be too easy of an answer. You wouldn't be
look
asking.
Look to the other end, the other bench.
Oh, Lu Dort.
No, Nick, the other team.
Oh, it's a Pelicans guy that's the leading?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were asking which Thunder player. I wasn't even thinking about the Pelicans.
Oh, okay.
Trey Murphy?
It's Trey Murphy. Murphy.
Played... I mean, that was a poorly worded question.
Apologies. Okay. Trey Murphy played 44 minutes tonight.
And he deserves it. Is he the best player on the healthy Pelicans right now?
He might be. He's really good. And he's got to start next year. Yeah. I think Brandon Ingram might be gone. Okay, here's the two things I want to talk about. Thing number one, Jonas Valanciunas, 12 minutes. Larry Nance Jr., 29 minutes. Jonas saw 0 minutes in the second half. For all the talk that Chet was too small, Jonas is going to put him in the rim. Jonas is like the best advantage they have. They have had to result. Like, the result has been they can't play him.
Yeah.
Literally sat on the bench the entire second half. Just big picture thoughts on how teams try to match up with the Thunder, both in this series and moving forward in the playoffs. Nick.
Say that one more time.
Just your big picture thoughts on like the playing a big and like Chet outplaying them and how that plays out in the rest of this series, which I think is one game, and then moving forward.
Yeah. So I think it's important to note, not only did Larry Nance Jr. play a significant chunk of minutes in the absence of Valanciunas, who was played off the floor, but even when Larry Nance had to go take a seat on the bench, they played Dyson Daniels and Najee Marshall as like the pseudo 4-5 in many situations. That tells you everything you need to know about the JV experiment and how Chet Holmgren can't play against bigs. In this series, does Valanciunas even start game four? I don't know. I really don't know.
Like, I think he will, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a very quick trigger to pull him off.
But again, Willie Green, if he's clearly not working, why start him and pull him early if you know you're going to pull him early? Like, do something different. You've gotten
I agree.
And in three games,
it's literally a must-win game.
If you're
like,
a Pelicans,
literally.
If you're a Pelicans fan, Jacob, are you pissed if JV starts game four?
Nick, I will tell you the truth. I see a lot of Pelicans fans who are pissed that JV didn't play the second half of this game.
Oh my God.
They think he should be playing closer to 40.
That's something.
I agree.
This series, I don't think it matters all that much. Next series, I think it does, because regardless of who you play, if it's LA or if it's Dallas, both of these teams do kind of a center by committee. Like, the Mavs have Gafford and Lively, and then if you want to consider Dwight Powell in that rotation, Clippers have Zubac, they have Plumlee, and they have Daniel Tice. So it's like three guys on each side, none of which are like all-NBA centers, all-star centers, but they're all three guys that are like big, strong, physical, and do things that impact winning. And so I think this series, and this is playoff basketball, every series is so different. Regardless of who Oklahoma City draws in round two, this whole conversation is once again at the forefront, but it's very different in that case. Like, I don't see the Mavs, unless they go PJ Washington at the five, which has been successful for them. I don't see them ever playing a lot of small ball. The Clippers, I could see some small ball, maybe, but their small ball is like Terrence Mann, which, like, please put Terrence Mann on Chet Holmgren.
For sure. And those two teams, their big isn't clear one side of the floor, throw it down, and let him take seven or eight power dribbles to the rim, you know?
It's always so funny. You see Pelicans fans like tweet out a clip of Jonas, power dribble like eight or nine times, eat up the entire shot clock, and then do like a turnaround 2-point shot. And they're like, Chet can't hold him. But then, like, you fast forward the clip and Oklahoma City scores a 3-pointer on the other end in like 8 seconds. And it's like,
and then Jonas's fat ass is running back down the court again, literally sucking for air. Exactly. The other minute thing I want to talk about, that which I think is more of a big picture thing. This time we'll talk about the Thunder, Nick. I want to look at the bench here. The starters all played 30 plus. Giddy was the lowest minute getter at 31.
Which is crazy.
Yes. Let's remove garbage time, Kenrich Williams, and Lindy Waters, the third minutes.
Which, before we move on, the fact that Kenrich Williams, who is a guy that contenders were begging to send first-round picks for to get them over the hump the last few years, is getting garbage time in Oklahoma City on the youngest team in the playoffs. That speaks to their depth. Continue.
Will that continue for Kenrich to just be a garbage time guy?
In this series.
Is this a matchup
series.
Thing?
In this series, yes.
Okay. Bench minutes from least to most. Gordon Hayward, 8. I got more cardio on my treadmill second half of this game than Gordon has in the entire playoff so far.
Still no points and only one shot in three.
I've taken more shots than Gordon Hayward has in the playoffs so far.
Vodka.
I have actually never taken a shot of vodka in my life. Thank you very much. Gordon, 8 minutes. Isaiah Joe, 9 minutes. Jay Will, 10. Wiggins, 16. Cason Wallace, 18. I don't want to talk about Gordon Hayward. There's nothing to talk about. I just watched a guy, again, get cardio. I do that at the gym. I can just go there and watch people run on the treadmill. Isaiah Joe, 9 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Half of Cason's 18. Almost half of Wiggins' 16. Level of surprise for you with those bench numbers? Or bench numbers, bench minutes.
Yeah. It's hard to, like, really analyze the minutes in a game that was a blowout kind of early in the second half. Where, like, if this was a close game, I don't know if that's the minutes distribution, to be honest with you. It is surprising, though, that Isaiah Joe only plays 9 minutes. What I'll say about that is the fact that he shot 5 threes in 9 minutes is awesome. Like, that's what you want. You want that guy to go in there and shoot a bunch of threes and do what he does best in those 9 minutes. Like, it's funny how in the 9 minutes he played, like, I remember more Isaiah Joe plays than I do Aaron Wiggins plays, who played almost double the minutes. That pick and pop with Shea is unguardable when Isaiah Joe's on the floor, because defenders either have to respect Isaiah Joe and allow Shea to cook in isolation off the pick and roll, or they have to double Shea or shade or hedge on Shea, which leaves Isaiah Joe open for wide open three. Like, if Isaiah Joe is going to play 9 minutes and take 5 threes, I'm actually not upset with that role, to be honest. I don't think he needs 20 minutes if he can pack in his production in a small amount of time.
Does it surprise you at all that it's half of Cason Wallace's, who's a rookie?
No, because Cason Wallace played the 6 most minutes all year long. Like, if you look at the data, even from early in the season, he has been the 6th man, although Oklahoma City does, like, 6th man by committee. He has been in minutes per game and total minutes. Like, he's always been the first guy off the bench. And what does surprise me, although it shouldn't, maybe what should surprise people outside of Oklahoma City, 3 of the top 6 minutes getters were not in the NBA 2 years ago.
Isn't that wild?
It's nuts. And that is, this is going to be like way big picture. If and when guys like Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins, et cetera, get traded or moved or go to free agency or whatever happens, like the NBA changes like that and you can't get stuck on different players. If Oklahoma City's three of their top six were drafted in the last two drafts, that tells you like what this team could look like and how much better they could be in two more years with more draft picks and moves and development and all that kind of stuff. So
could not agree more. I'm kind of surprised only 9 minutes for Joe. I thought he would get more. I think he's been really good in his minutes. Nick, I think you hit my catchphrase. You hit the nail on the head. 5 shots in 9 minutes for Joe, 14 shots in 37 minutes for BI.
So I'm saying
therein lies the difference. Let's take our next break. On the other side, we'll talk some of the players of the game and some adjustments that we've noticed. Looking forward to game 3. We will be right back.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back. Nick, let's jump into some top performers from tonight. Where would you like to start?
I think it only makes sense to start with Chet because it's the kind of game that if you just look at the points, rebounds, assists, which is what a lot of NBA Twitter looks at for things like MVP, didn't look like a great game. But he absolutely impacted the game on both ends, especially defensively. Like we talked about the dunk attempts that he erased. Like, not that it would have mattered in hindsight, but like at least 10 points, 10 easy points, like dunks that 90% of the league just kind of like backs off. Like I'm not getting put on the poster, were erased by Chet. Not whether it's blocking or just like deterring the shot or forcing them to like move their hand 5 inches to the right and then throwing it off the back of the rim. Like he erased 10 points. And that's the kind of stuff like, what did he finish with? 7 points?
Six, I believe.
6 points?
6 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 blocks.
Like that's the kind of performance from Chet that if you look at the box score, you're like, oh yeah, he played a decent game. But in reality, like he probably was, I know the plus minus is like probably like 10 or 12. But I think he actually probably like swung the game 16 to 20 points between his 6 points.
There was multiple times where I saw Pelicans drive into the lane and then U-turn and exit the lane because Chet was there.
Yeah. He leads the NBA in blocks in the postseason or in the playoffs, rather. Mm-hmm. Postseason considered play-in. Postseason.
I think you can include the play in there and it's probably still an accurate statement.
Probably.
I'm going to go J-Will. Guy missed almost the entire first quarter. Still played 35 minutes. Listen to this line, Nick.
Played 35?
He played 35 tonight.
Wow.
21 points on 9 of 16. Super efficient. 3 of 4 from three. He was a little cold from three in this series, really busted loose. There was a play tonight where he had the ball passed to Shea at the top of the key. Shea isolated, and I believe it was Trey Murphy on Shea, Herb on Dub. Herb was cheating over to Shea, and Shea just stood there, held the ball, jab stepped a few times. Herb took another step over, and it was just a very fast kick to Dub, pull up three. What the hell do you do with that?
Nothing. You can't.
Like, what you?
And that is the playoffs. You have to create these mismatches and advantages and schemes and plays that quite literally can't be defended. And the only way they can be defeated is if, like, you miss the open shot. Like, that kind of stuff is just like it. That is, we're going to see that for the next 5 to 10 years.
It's incredible. Also, I think I said J Will. I meant J Dub, obviously.
Yeah.
That reading the stat line should tell you that. My fault on the misspeak. Nick, here's the stats I like even more, though, than those points. And that efficiency, 9 of 16 and 3 of 4 from 3. 5 assists, 2 steals, 9 rebounds.
Yeah.
Thunder won the game by 2 today.
Mm-hmm.
For those people who think the game is won and lost by rebounding numbers, they out-rebounded the Pelicans by 2. I think Dub was awesome on the glass. He's one of my players of the game tonight, for sure.
Yep.
Let's each choose one more.
He's been really good. And for what it's worth, I believe after tonight's game, it'll still be Shea, I think. But Jalen Williams has been really close in the playoffs in being the Thunder's top assist guy.
Yeah.
Which I think the average NBA fan that, like, sees J-Dub's highlights doesn't realize, like, Dub is a point guard in college and can dish the rock. Play of the game for me, I'm still gonna go Lou. I tweeted it out early in the game, like another example of can't be a box score watcher. 4 of 9 from the floor, 4 of 8 from three, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 fouls, like 12 points. Look, it looks like a solid line. You're like, man, Lou Dort had a decent game. He was the fourth leading scorer. Shot it well from three, but like in the first half, he was the best player on the entire floor, including SGA, including J-Dub, including Brandon Ingram, including Zion over on the bench. Lou Dort was the best player in the first half on the entire floor. And the way that he just like controls the game defensively and then just knocks down threes on the other end, the ultimate glue guy, the ultimate role player in the starting lineup. I'm sure if you listen back to Uncontested podcast in January, February, or even in October, we're probably saying trade candidate, probably a guy you might ship off and you'd be okay with it. Kaysen will fill his void. Kaysen's awesome, but like, holy crap, this is why Sam Presti makes decisions and podcasts do not, because without Lou Dort, like, I think the Thunder still win this series, but it's very
much
different.
Yeah. Much different. It's so nice to have that guy that you just say, hey, go guard the best player on the team. And Nick, I am telling you, there were some shots today where I just thought Brandon Ingram, like, doesn't want to play basketball anymore. Like, Lou has ruined the game for him.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild. My second one, I'm going to go with Josh.
Okay.
21 points on 8 of 13 shooting, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. Great game, confident game by Josh. We haven't mentioned Shea, so I also have to read his line. Shea with an inefficient 8 of 20, 1 of 5 from 3. But the guy, you know, just did 24, 5, 8, and 4 steals. No biggie.
Crazy.
But no, I thought this was an awesome Josh game. Game 1 was not a good Josh game, and he did not play much. Game 2 was much better. Game 3 was awesome. A nice little trajectory to be on for Josh.
Yeah. Well, one more I'll throw in here. Jay Will.
Jay Will with the sky hook?
Dude, was it a sky hook or was it like this weird running hook? Like,
yeah, it was like,
it was weird.
Kind of running sideways and like hooked it up. It was awesome.
It's almost like when J-Dub gets to the cup and he kind of like uses the hook to like get over the defender and bank it in as like a layup. This was like, he didn't realize he was so far from the basket. Maybe he did it on, I don't know. It was on purpose, on accident. It went in. It was great. And then followed up with a three. That was early enough in the game where it felt like it was still kind of back and forth. And without that quick 5 points, like what did he have? 11 minutes. He was 2 for 2 from the floor, 1 of 1 from three, a couple rebounds, a dime, 5 points in 10 minutes. Like you'll take that. And then in game two, and even game one, like he's a guy that I think we talk about Chet being the reason JV can't play. I think that there's been moments in this series where JV starts to cook a little bit or clean the boards in a way that you'd think would be a huge detractor for the Thunder. And Jay Will comes in and like his big body makes a difference. Like, I think he is, when you look big picture at this series, when it's all said and done, whether it's a sweep or five games, like Jay Will played a significant role in the Thunder dominating the Pelicans.
Agreed. I go back to the trade deadline when people wanted the Thunder to go get Andre Drummond or whoever. Why? You got Jay Will at home.
Yeah. Hitting threes.
He's been awesome.
He's been great.
He's been very, very good. Any other players you want to talk about?
Nah, everyone was good. Like even Gordon Hayward, who you don't want to talk about, who's not been a scorer at all. Like he's not been bad. Like everybody on the roster that's
a game.
No, everybody that's on the roster, that's played minutes. No complaints. We'll leave it there.
For sure. We can just touch on this real fast. Just adjustments going into game three. You've already mentioned it. You think New Orleans just should not play Jonas at all. I don't know. I feel like Jonas might be their only chance to win. The going small for them did not work out well.
I think they probably wish they still had Jackson Hayes. Not that he's great, but like he matches up way better than tiny. Like Larry Nance is what, 6'8", 6'9"? Like he's not a big guy. And then Jonas can't do anything. So I think they probably miss that a little bit more mobile, but also 7 foot big.
For sure. Any other adjustments?
I've been saying it. You've been saying it. Everybody's been saying it. New Orleans needs to get more shots out of their top guys. BI needs to shoot the ball more. CJ might need to shoot the ball less. That dude.
He was 1 of 10 to start this game, Nick.
I'm a fan.
He ended 7 of 22. Ingram ended 7 of 14. Some quick math. That's 14 of 36.
It's bad. He has had a phenomenal NBA career. I don't want to discount anything he's done for the league. He's been awesome. One of the best off-ball guards that we've seen in the last decade, holistically. He's not that guy anymore. And it's detrimental to the Pelicans, to be honest.
Totally agree. Before we finish out this one, another super chat we got to get to. Our guy Alan McIntosh says, I freaking love this team. How close is this team to becoming the best Thunder team ever? I think it's very close. I think they will be there in a year or two. What do you think, Nick?
I'll shut that up. I don't think they're close today. I think that in 2 years, they will be at that level, if not better. And we have a benchmark. Like, you could argue all day, this roster, that roster. The benchmark is winning a championship. We've seen a team, a young team, go to the finals. Was it one game one, lost the next four? Mm-hmm. So, to be the best Thunder team in history, you got to make the finals and win two games. Like, that's concrete, right? I think we could argue all day, this team is more fun. This team was better. This team had more talent, higher ceiling. End of the day, we have a clear bar. And I think that in 2 years, this team like will be entering the 2025-6 season. And when we're at Summer League, after the Thunder maybe lost the Western Conference Finals, somehow have the number 3 overall pick, and they're bringing in some guy because they own everybody else's lottery selections. I think that our guy Taylor will go to the sports book at the Virgin Hotel that we always stay at, and the Thunder is going to be the championship number one favorite. Like, and that's going to be 2 years from now.
That's insane. Nick, I think the last thing I want to say before we get out of here, I tweeted this from our account earlier today. I feel very strongly about it. Not only are the Pelicans getting smoked on the court, Smoothie King Center like wasn't at capacity. There was a lot of empty seats.
Mm-hmm.
Loud OKC chants coming through the broadcast on TNT. It's a different breed, man. I wondered if they could get back to this level, speaking of the fandom, after the newness of getting a new team and that team being so damn good
mm-hmm.
in the first iteration. Now you don't have the newness of being in the NBA anymore. They're incredible.
You know,
they are absolutely incredible. They took over New Orleans. I wanted to give a shout out. Somebody tweeted at me. Let me get it here real quick.
While you're pulling it up, it's a quick thought. I agree with the newness factor being a huge deal. I would almost argue now that the franchise has been here for 15 years, there's a lot more like blood, sweat, tears, and emotions that have like been poured into this team. Like it's fun when it's a brand new team and like they're in the holy crap, they're in the finals. And I've watched this team for 2 to 3 years now. I would almost argue like the hype around this team should be bigger than like the newness factor. Like this is now like an actual fan base that's watched a team for over a decade.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's fair. It was Chicken Wink on Twitter. He said it's now called Lou Dorleans.
I love that.
It's incredible.
I love that.
So shout out to Thunder fans. You guys have been
Lou Hoops in New Orleans. And we've seen it twice now.
Yes. Hey, Josh Hoops in New Orleans.
He does. He does.
I'm getting hit up a lot in the chat, so we got to give a shout out to Taylor's dad, who apparently it is his birthday today.
Yo, happy birthday, Jared.
So happy birthday to Taylor's dad. The chat also wants us to talk about Reggie Miller. I will not be talking about Reggie Miller. Brother, the pronunciation guide is literally at your table.
Yep. Speaking of...
It's a bit. Speaking of Taylor's dad,
Mark Daigneault is going to win Coach of the Year this year. Before Mark Daigneault, there was Coach Peterson, and he was the GOAT of coaching back in the day.
I love it. Hey, we are going to get out of here. We will be back tomorrow, Sunday night, normal time, 9 p.m. Central Time, as we talk maybe some bigger picture playoff stuff, some bigger picture Thunder stuff, before we go into Game 4 on Monday night. That game time still TBD. I believe what happens with the Lakers and the Nuggets tonight will determine what time the Thunder tip off and possibly what network that game is on.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll get that information tonight. We'll be with you guys tomorrow and Monday, though, regardless. Have a great rest of your weekend. If you're in Oklahoma, stay safe. Storms kind of crazy out there today. The Thunder, it's poetic, right?
I knew a pun was coming. Ugh.
It is absolutely poetic. Stay safe. We will be with you guys again tomorrow night. Nick, before we get out of here, will we be podcasting over a Game 5?
No.
I agree. I think they took their soul today. I think the Pelicans are done.
I think they are feeling the body language today would suggest, and Zion's pissed on the bench too. It all suggests that they're cooked. And again, Willie Green, love him as a person. It's an awesome story. He's got ties to Mark, got ties to Sam, but like no adjustments have been made. It's kind of sad to see.
Yep. I think it is over. We will see you guys tomorrow night. Until then, and as always, Thunder up.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.